This is the Pittsburgh Steelers 2026 season preview, and it starts at the end. January 12th, a home wildcard game, and a 30-6 loss to Houston, in which the offense never found the end zone. The next day, Mike Tomlin stepped down after 19 seasons and no losing records. Ever. What replaced him is the most storied reunion the league could write. Mike McCarthy, the coach who beat him in a Super Bowl, now the 17th head coach in franchise history, calling plays for Aaron Rodgers. 13 shared seasons in Green Bay, one shared championship, and, per Rodgers himself at spring practice, one explicitly final year. This is it. The market looked at a division winner and priced a losing season. 8.5 wins with the juice leaning under. This episode is about why the market isn't crazy, and where it might still be wrong. What was real about the 10-7 division title? Less than a division title usually implies. Pittsburgh was 16th in offensive efficiency and 18th in defensive efficiency, mid by every core measure, 397 points scored, 15th. The genuinely good pieces, a rush offense that ranked 9th in efficiency, with Jaylen Warren running for 958 yards and grading 8th of 49 qualified backs in rushing yards over expected per carry. A defense that manufactured havoc, 48 sacks, 6th most, 27 takeaways, 5th most, on a blitz rate that ranked 7th in football, and a quarterback who protected the ball, 24 touchdowns against just 7 picks. And here the asterisks start. Rodgers' season graded 18th in adjusted net yards per attempt and 23rd in completion percentage over expected, fine, unspectacular. But the charting underneath is the part that matters for 2026. He faced pressure on 21% of dropbacks, the lowest rate among the 32 qualifying quarterbacks in our data. Protected better than anyone in football, in his 21st NFL season, he was mid. What happened on the plays where the protection failed is the 2026 question, and we'll get there. What was luck? This is the loudest regression profile in the division, Chicago's mirror from our NFC North episode, except Pittsburgh's version comes with a coaching change. The one-score record was 7-3, 70%, past the 65% line where the harshest rule in our 10-year data kicks in. Teams there lost 3 wins on average the next season, and only 11% improved at all. The turnover margin was plus 11, fourth best in football. And top 5 margins historically gave most of it back, costing about a win and a half on their own. Point differential says, this was an 8.8 win team that banked 10. Stack the rules and the arithmetic is blunt. 10-7 with this profile projects to something like 7 or 8 wins before you change a single player. And Pittsburgh changed the one variable the rules can't price, the coach whose teams kept beating these exact odds. The counterweight is real and worth saying plainly. The market has priced Pittsburgh's win total low for years, and as the betting press keeps noting, the team has beaten it 6 straight seasons. The rules say the luck runs out. The franchise's whole recent history is the rules losing. The identity, charting data via NFL Verse. The 2025 defense had a clear fingerprint. 7th highest blitz rate in football, top half man coverage usage, pressure manufactured by scheme, and it converted that havoc into 5th most takeaways despite a middling efficiency rank. That fingerprint belonged to Terrell Austin, and it's gone. The entire staff was let go, with Patrick Graham installed as the new coordinator. On offense, the 2025 identity was Arthur Smith's, heavy personnel at the 4th highest rate in the league, pass rate over expected almost exactly neutral. Smith now runs Ohio State's offense, and the new identity arrives with unusual specificity. McCarthy will call the plays himself, something Tomlin never did in 19 years, with first-time coordinator Brian Angelicchio handling the game plan. Rodgers' own review of the install, it's stuff that we used to run. Our stickiness data says tendencies persist because callers persist. Pittsburgh replaced both callers. Whatever shows up in September, the 2025 charting describes who they were, not who they'll be. What changed around the reunion is a roster quietly rearmed at the skill spots. Michael Pittman Jr. arrived from Indianapolis in a March trade, 80 catches, 784 yards, and a career-high 7 touchdowns last season, paired with a 3-year, $59 million deal. Rico Dowdle signed from Carolina off a 1,076-yard season that graded 16th of 49 on our efficiency board. Cornerback Jamel Dean came on 3 years, safety Jaquan Brisker on one, the draft went offense with its first three picks, tackle Max Ihanecor at 21, receiver Jeremy Bernard at 47 after a trade-up, and Penn State's Drew Aller at 76 as the quarterback of the future, waiting behind the quarterback of the past. The extensions went to the young core, Nick Herbig at 4 years and $100 million, Darnell Washington at 4 and 42, out, Kenneth Gainwell, Isaac Sumalo, Jonnu Smith, Calvin Austin, and one situation handled straight. DK Metcalf's two-game suspension for the fan altercation in December contractually voided roughly $45 million in future guarantees. The club declined to exercise the void and publicly reaffirmed its commitment to him. So the 2026 question, what happens when the league's most protected quarterback stops being protected? Because the charting on Rodgers 2025 is a cliff, not a slope. Clean pocket, 24th in efficiency, already modest, pressured, 30th of 32, blitzed, 30th, fourth quarter, 25th. The stable, repeatable part of his game ranked 19th, and the gap between his protected and unprotected performance was the eighth largest in the league. Pittsburgh's 2025 line and quick game design bought him the lowest pressure rate in football, and the offense still finished 16th. The bull case is specific and not stupid. McCarthy's system is the one Rodgers has spent a career mastering. Pittman and Metcalf give him two contested catch outlets. The run game graded top 10 with two backs are board likes, and a blitz-heavy defense that keeps generating takeaways can keep games short. But notice what that case requires. An offense built to recreate 2025's protection with a new collar, on the final ride of a 22nd season quarterback whose efficiency under pressure sits 30th of 32. The market's 8.5 isn't disrespect. It's the regression rules plus a fragility the charting can see. Fantasy names to know. Scored half PPR. Jaylen Warren at RB29, pick 75, is the room's best price to profile. 958 yards at 4.5 a carry, top 10 per carry over expectation, going as a flex. The discount exists because Dowdle at RB32 sits 10 picks behind him, and the committee is real. Buying both is buying a top 10 run game whole. Metcalf at WR37 led the team with 59 catches for 850 and 6 scores. Fine, capped, and now sharing the perimeter. Pittman at WR45 is the sneaky volume bet if the McCarthy offense throws short and often. Rodgers at QB27 is effectively free, and the profile says that's fair. Freiermuth at TE30 is the deep league note, first among all tight ends in our data in yards after catch over expectation. When he's targeted, good things happen. The target count is the problem, the verdict. Our model and the market agree on direction, and honestly, on magnitude. Two regression flags worth 3+ wins historically, both engines of the 10-7 record graded as the least repeatable stats we track, and the one man with a 19-season record of outrunning that math walked away the day after the season. 7-9 wins is the honest range. What keeps us off the hard under is the same thing that's kept this franchise over its number 6 years running. Short games, takeaways, and a division where everyone else is rebuilding something too. The formula that won the North is statistically due to fail. It's just been due before. Follow the Pittsburgh Steelers feed for the weekly show. Every game, every number, all season. This was the Muffed 2026 Steelers Preview. Every number verified.